Did you know manufacturing is now the number one target for hackers? Smart connected devices on the plant floor are high-value cyber attack targets because of the intellectual property they contain, and just one day of downtime can cost millions. Hi, and welcome to Automation Chat. I'm Teresa Hauck, executive editor of the Journal from Rockwell Automation and our partner Network Magazine. This episode is a fabulous conversation with Richard Springer, director of marketing for OT Solutions at Fortinet, about finding of its study, Advancing Digital Transformation in a Time of Unprecedented Cybersecurity Risk, that covers cybersecurity trends from 2018 to 2022. The report was developed in collaboration with the Manufacturers Alliance Foundation. And I got to tell you, this is one of the most interesting studies I've seen in a while. We discuss key takeaways and lessons manufacturers can use to fortify their cybersecurity. But before we dive into our chat, it's time for our family-friendly, silly joke of the day. Which one is faster, hot or cold? Hot, because you can catch a cold. Okay, here's my conversation with Richard. Hi, Richard. It's great to see you. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks, Teresa. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we dive in, how about you briefly describe for me what Fortinet does for listeners who might not know?
Yeah, sure. So Fortinet is a global cybersecurity leader headquartered in the United States. Fortinet provides secure networking, unified SASE, and security operations as part of 50-plus solutions that we call the Security Fabric. My area of focus is actually with the OT security platform, which is an extension of that fabric. So we have like solutions specific and engineered for OT. And so we seamlessly work with that enterprise fabric. And so we have an opportunity to help our customers with IT-OT convergence. And then also naturally with vendor consolidation with all of the solutions available with the platform.
Mm-hmm. Now that fabric of solutions that you described probably contributed to an award I witnessed you win last week. We had the annual Partner Network Conference, and your company was awarded the Technology Partner of the Year. Congratulations.
Yes.
What does that mean to you guys? What is that?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And thank Rockwell. I mean, it's truly indicative of the partnership as we're bringing security solutions into the automation industrial spaces. So it's really a collaborative effort as how we bring those solutions in and how we integrate them. And so it's great to be recognized, and internally from the long term, this is just a starting point. So as I mentioned, the fabric at the enterprise level and the OT security platform, there are many more solutions to discover. And we look forward to that collaborative effort with Rockwell and helping our keeping our joint customers secure.
Well, good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, as we get into this study, let's look at it this way. Tell me first, how you partnered with the Manufacturers Alliance Foundation to produce the research and the report, and describe in general what the study covers.
Sure. Okay. So the partnership really started in 2019, and then the first report was published in 2020. And back in that time, which seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't that time, long ago, it really was really about bringing cyber awareness to the Manufacturers Alliance membership. So OT security is still relatively new, looking at basic understandings of where they sit today, what could be coming tomorrow, and it was really an educational tool. So now fast forward to today, we re-engaged in 2022, produced the new report in 2023. So we have a nice comparison between the two data sets, and we're shifting tack here between kind of rapidly leaving education into, oh my gosh, we need OT security now. So it's more of you can use it as an assessment tool where manufacturers are in the process of bringing security to the factory floor. And so the report itself covers cyber trends, cyber security solutions. It talks about IT-OT teams, and even talks about what an OT professional looks like, as we know that we need to add these vital personnel resources to the equation as well. And so The title being Advancing Digital Transformation in a Time of Unprecedented Cybersecurity Risk, I think says it all. Mm-hmm. It was a mouthful, but it really does capture the unprecedented and the risk piece of it is where we are today.
Yeah. And you mentioned for example, what an OT professional looks like, it's very different than just 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, different. And also, we've also got, we have to look at how we're developing these folks internally as well. So it gives like a kind of a checklist of skill sets. And so, yeah, there are differences with OT security, but there are also a lot of commonalities with IT as far as the devices and so forth. But yeah, so it's another challenge that we have. There aren't enough security professionals out there. It's worse so for OT because it's a little more specialized, a little more niche. But yeah, so it's a very enlightening report, and hope that our combined customers can use that going forward to help them secure their factories.
So as we get into the results of it, what are some of the key takeaways that you found in the results?
Yeah, the first thing that jumps out to me in the report is actually a graphic from X-Force Threat Intelligence. And in that, they look at various sectors of industry. They even look at finance, professional services, energy, and they have a trending from 2018 to 2022. And what you see is manufacturing rapidly moves up over the years to where it's the biggest contributor, has the biggest percentage of cyber attacks by industry. Now, that is interesting in and of itself, but I can also share that with our threat intelligence research through FortiGuard Labs, that we have focus on OT. And we also do spotlight research articles on industry. And so with that focus on manufacturing, we've seen the same thing. And so due to some of the recent events and that type of thing, the bad actors are really looking to prey upon manufacturing as a high value target.
Yeah, I saw a sidebar in the study as I was going through that manufacturing attacks are increasing, and that's especially for ransomware. And they're asking 25% of the asks are $1 million or more for ransomware.
Right.
That's just frightening.
Yeah. Yeah. And that actually is a couple other points about the report. And that's the second is really it. We look at the impact of security breaches is the graphic. And underneath that, you break down operational outages, loss of critical data, loss of IP. And we've seen a large uptick from 2020 to 2023. So it really is reflective of, again, the bad actors and looking at the high value target of manufacturing. And so that is another thing that jumps out to me is really that kind of validation. And then shifting gears a bit, the other part that I thought was very interesting, there's a collaboration question. I'm looking at IT teams and OT teams. And it's really they're qualitatively assessing their collaboration. And so the biggest response was in the very good category, and it was slightly higher from the IT team as opposed to the OT team. What's interesting to me is if you look to the left of that for what is deemed exceptional, there's a huge uptick on the IT perspective. So IT teams view that the OT collaboration is exceptional. If you look to the right of that very good, there's good. And there you see a huge uptick from the OT team. So yeah, they kind of meet in the middle, but there's still that disparity. Not everybody's to the left on, even an agreement on the exceptional or on the right on the good. So I think this is very, very indicative of where we are today, which is, again, bringing security to the OT spaces. OT priorities are different: safety, production, reliability, where IT teams have the budget, the people, experience, but they also don't necessarily have the operational background. So it really is a combine of forces, and that takes time, that takes change. And when you talk about people and change, that usually takes some time. So,
yeah.
So I think that, again, to me, that just being more from the OT side and being from the operational side, that is, a very good reflection of where we are today. And I spent a lot of time with customers talking about that and talking about how we can bring win-win situations to both teams.
And you're really talking about culture change. Is that addressed at all in the study?
Yeah, it is. It talks about the priorities, talks about bringing security where there was no security before, or very little. The OT spaces historically have been air-gapped, or they really weren't part of the security policy. So as we're connecting them as part of digital transformation to bring that rich data out and process that and improve our productivity, that is a cultural change. And so when you bring that connectivity, now we're talking about people who have access, who are these other people, You know, are they going to affect my production? And then you have the security on top of it. Well, what do you mean I don't have an access anymore? What do you mean I have to have a password, a complex password? Why do I have to have this two-factor authentication piece? So absolutely, there's cultural change that goes on from an operator who, you know, was focused on production and did a great job. And now there's these added things. But part of the cultural change is really educating the fact that nobody wants that line to stop. And we already had challenges, you know, just from our internal teams, supply chains, you know, whatever, any tactical nature. And now we have these bad actors that are looking at our factories as targets. So we don't want to, you know, have that line stop, because this cyber intrusion, opportunity, crime continues on and it is expanding.
Yeah, and it's not just shutting down the lines, it's loss of revenue. It can be broken machines, it can be hurt people. Some of those, I think, were addressed in the survey as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I, one thing back with the report, and it's related to that, that something that actually surprised me was, as we were going through the different things of under impact, there is a category called brand and reputation damage. And what we saw from 2020 to 2023 is that it rapidly went down. It was almost cut in half. So that really caught my eye, because we're in a time of transition, and that transition is based on the SEC. So late last year, the SEC came out with disclosure rules that within 4 days, if there's a material cyber incident, then that needs to be reported from an investor standpoint. And so I just felt that was very, you know, like I said, in a transitional period, that may have been true pre the SEC rules coming to bear, because it was maybe just a cost that we were aware of. And it's an operational cost. We do have these incidents, we do have interruptions. And so now a lot of these are going to come to bear. And I think that is most important, is to educate. It isn't from a punitive standpoint, from my perspective, it's really about bringing these to light, because there are a lot of events going on and we're not aware of it. So it's really an excellent learning opportunity, and also validating the risk in your company as you look at another company that's being impacted.
There is a lot to learn. In fact, we did a podcast about 3 years ago about the famed Colonial Pipeline breach. Uh-huh.
Yes.
It's still our number one podcast, because there's so much to learn from it.
Yeah. And I will say Colonial Pipeline, I mean, for the listeners who may not be aware, I mean, this was the interruption of the East Coast Pipeline that happened to be around July 4th as well, because there was also a meat processor that was affected. So people were having their July 4th barbecue interrupted based on the cyber stuff. What's going on there? But that was a pre-SEC disclosure. Now it became public because it had such a, you know, public impact. But yeah, there was very interesting things that went on there. And the thing that stuck out to me was there was the ransom that was, you know, divulged of like this $4 million ransom. But what really wasn't discussed was the monetizing of the 2 weeks of the billing system indirectly shutting down the pipeline. They couldn't bill, so they had to shut down the pipeline. So that 2 weeks, if any business owner looks at 2 weeks of stopped operation, let alone the $4 million ransom, let alone the recovery, let alone the reputational impact, it's tremendous, right? And so Colonial is a great example, and we love to use that. There are many more out there. And being a global company, I see these. And to that note, I'd like to bring up maybe a couple other events. Recently, there was a large cleaning products company, and then there was also a building controls manufacturer, and they both had cyber events that affected them. I'm being purposely ambiguous just because, again, this is about learning. This isn't about finger pointing, but in the post-disclosure period, they have disclosed these cyber incidents. Now, we don't know exactly what has gone on. The SEC piece of it is not in an investigative report as to how it happened. I think that will come out, you know, eventually come out, but I'm going to guess that it's probably ransomware events, again, whether that was directly or indirectly infecting production. But the reason we know about these is because they have to disclose them. So again, back to that learning piece of it. And so what the numbers involved here are in the tens of millions. again, it's not really mentioned whether they pay ransom or not because it's highly controversial, but they talk about the loss or interruption of production. They talk about the recovery costs. They talk about cyber insurance. That's also maybe another future podcast that we could talk about cyber insurance and what's going on there. Right. So these things are easy to calculate. And then you get into maybe the reputational piece of it. I mean, that affects the consumer supply chain. The products aren't on the shelf. And so there is that reputational piece of it that comes into it that isn't easy to quantify, but that really ties back to that reputational piece of it that, yeah, we should be empowered to disclose these. We should do that for the sake of raising, you know, the common denominator of OT security. It's very unfortunate that these companies have to go through it, but it is the absolute reality. And I'll say that is one of the biggest difference between 2020 and 2023 is that back in 2020, it was easy enough to discount OT risk. It just wasn't at the forefront. And from over the last 3 years, I've seen that change where I am spending more time talking to CISOs or, you know, the executives overseeing IT and now OT security and risk. Because it's now part of their top five, top three risk registers, whereas before it was something just under consideration.
Yeah, and it's good to know that's changing. And I know the general public, like when something affects them in the public, they kind of expect people to be attacked now all the time. So,
yeah,
you know, disclosing it so that other manufacturers can learn from what happened, even if they do it anonymously, you know, like you said, a generic, you know, a certain kind of company. That's still helpful. And you don't have to be embarrassed that it happened to you or tell competitors what happened to you.
Sure.
So it's still useful. Are there other things about the study that surprised you?
You know, there's, it's just continually shifting as far as, you know, the attacks that go on, and we don't get into that level of detail. So I'll answer it indirectly, which is where my mind is going and maybe what's coming, right? So I'm looking at maybe the next report, right?
Sure.
Thinking of this, you know, the generative AI, you know, the ChatGPT piece of it. It's all the conversation amongst security, amongst people in general, because we have this tremendous new tool that is new. I can tell you from a security standpoint that artificial intelligence, machine learning, these are tools that have been in the background of security companies, including ours, for 10 plus years. So again, just a little bit of education here. I mean, we receive security telemetry back from our install base of 60 million plus devices, and we process, you know, trillions of pieces of data a day in order to, again, go into our threat analysis and better position our security tools. So that's different from the new wave, which is the generative part. Now, the generative part is how, from a net advantage standpoint, we can make security easier. How can we put it into more easily understood context? How can we move faster? The other part of the equation is the bad actors also have these tools. And not only could they maybe move faster and more creatively, I'm concerned and also want to see how this plays out, that how can the IT-based ransomware bad actors, can they pivot to do more OT specific type of malware? The OT specific type of malware is not as common. It's usually nation state type of activity because it's very sophisticated. It's a longer pathway and usually laying in wait. So that's an interesting space to see if it transfers there as well. So I think the report does a great job, again, from taking us in the yesteryear of 2020, bringing us to the real near real time in 2023. And then I look to see what we discover as we look to generate the next report.
Well, I know there's a lot that the report covers. It's very comprehensive and a lot more than we can cover here. How can our listeners get a copy of that report?
Yeah, so both from the Manufacturers Alliance and Fortinet. And to save your listeners from writing all this down, if you type in Manufacturers Alliance and Fortinet, both sites will pop up. So that's, we can find the report there. I wrote a blog in association with that, and that's on the Fortinet.com site, but it'll also pop up. And then if anybody wants to look me up on LinkedIn, if they can't find it, then they can find me on LinkedIn at Richard M. Springer, and I can help you out and get you a download of that report.
And you know what? I'll put those three things in the episode description too. So it's very easy to find. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, very good.
Don't even have to do a search function. Well, Richard, thank you so much for chatting with me today about this. It's really interesting and important research, and I appreciate you spending time with me today.
Absolutely. It was an honor, Teresa, and I look to do it again.
I hope so. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. We always appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe and give us a rating and a review. I'm Teresa Hauck with The Journal Magazine. We'll chat again soon.